Na 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 sword.
Thursday, January the 7th. I don't know. I've been slipping back and forth in time. I don't even know what year it is. I don't really care. Because all anybody seems to do with the current year anymore is use it as an excuse for their politics. So, we're just not even going to go there for now.
But it's 2025. I should be fucking rich. Give me all your damn money.
It's current year. This should mean something.
I'm a trans millionaire, bitch.
Trans millionaire.
I'm trans financial. Give me your money. Mm-hmm. I'm a poor man trapped in a rich man's body. We need to fix this. Wait a minute. I'm a rich man trapped in a poor man's body. I think that's the way it was.
I don't know. Either way, just give us all your fucking money and we'll go away. Yeah, we're looking at you, Fry's Electrical. Looking
at you. That little audio hiccup we had in the beginning, I'm kind of wondering how much memory the fucking Windows, install Windows 10 thing in the tray is.
Do me a favor, dude. Go to the control panel and just have a look how much RAM it's using.
That's kind of what I'm looking to see.
Yeah, go and have a look.
I think it's lying. It says zero.
Yeah, it's lying. Probably need to reboot the box. But...
Well, I'm sure it'll make it through the show, then I'll go ahead and do the reboot, because it's yeah. After me every time I log in to do the show. So, hey. This is show 201. I am currently drinking white wine out of a mason jar, to keep it classy.
Was it shipped to you in the mason jar, or did it come out of a box?
It came out of a bottle.
Oh, that might be too classy for this crowd.
Way too classy.
Right, no, wait a minute. Man. That was wine bought at a gun range. You're good.
Yeah, it was. It's the wine. It's the white I bought at the gun range. Yes.
What?
In America, you can buy wine that was actually made at a gun range.
We found a combination gun range wine bar.
Jesus Christ.
It also and a guy has a golf course and a hotel.
The ranger there, we're pretty sure, was a cousin of yours, too.
Yeah.
So.
But he didn't put up with your shit either, right?
No, not much.
Exactly.
Why do you think we thought he was related?
Yeah. Okay,
yeah. Oi, cunts, come shoot some guns and drink some wine. It'd be fucking great. Is that your faggot mobile out there, Poof?
Yeah, that's what they only called it. I think he was driving a Chevy, so he must be a GM guy, or was it a Toyota?
I don't remember.
Either way, whatever he's not driving, apparently faggots drive.
So, Madman, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Dos Equis.
Datic, what are you drinking, man?
Nothing tonight, I don't think.
Aw.
He's still on opiums. That counts.
Yeah, opium does definitely count. All right, are you? What do you got, man?
I'm drinking a large glass of I don't give a fuck. It's one part feminism, one part liberal, and one part internet. Give a fuck.
Nice. Great drink. So I thought we'd have a little bit of fun opening with this. So, not a lot of people have noticed, apparently, that North Korea has been testing nuclear weapons lately.
Hydrogen bombs.
Hydrogen bombs.
Don't worry, man. It's not really nuclear. According to Fox, it's not like it's a nuclear weapon.
But that's okay, because South Korea has come up with how they intend to retaliate. From noon on North Korea leader Kim's birthday, South Korea plans to fire up loudspeakers along the heavily fortified border and resume the propaganda blasts that have brought the recursive regime to a war footing in August. And
they shell a small peninsula last time they did that?
Yes, they did. They also shelled an island and then one of South Korea's boats, Like they're Navy boats.
Here's the best part, though. So, yeah, they're going on about how the propaganda blasts, you know, because Kim Jong-il is supposed to be a god in his country. They're also going to be blasting K-pop.
Oh, Kim, buddy, man. Kim, use the nuke. Use the nuke. That is provocation for nuclear war.
Yeah, at the very bottom of the article here, the loudspeaker move could yet backfire given the level of propaganda to which the propaganda irritates the regime. The resumption of the loudspeaker broadcasts may emotionally provoke the North Korean military, sensitive to criticisms of the supreme dignitary, rather than help resolve the nuclear issue. Chong Song Chang, senior researcher at the... I'm pretty sure that's how you actually say it. I hate it when their names actually sound like the racist things you make up when you're trying to...
I was going to say, sure it's not some Ting Wong.
We Too Low? It could be We Too Low.
Senior researcher at the Shejong Institute near Seoul said by text message. With Kim's birthday, he is believed to be in his early 30s. They don't even know how old the guy is. Following on the day of the new broadcast, North Korea may react with an ultra-strong way to this decision by South Korea, viewing it as an act of ruining a national party.
Your neighbors blaring their speakers too loud. Don't you wish you had a thermonuclear weapon to lob their way?
They're going to blast... I love it. They're going to blast propaganda broadcasts and then K-pop. It's like, it's not annoying enough that we're telling you your way of life is wrong and your leaders are horrible. We're now going to blast our horrible music.
How insulting is this to all the K-pop artists trying to make it big in South Korea? That their music is being used as a weapon?
Dude, isn't everybody in Korea making K-pop? I thought that was their number one export.
I thought it was Korean prostitutes.
I thought it was South... I thought it was Zerglings, but
I have no idea at this point, and I'm too afraid to ask now.
There's a lot of professional StarCraft players who come up.
How the hell do you make professional StarCraft player?
Go ahead and fucking inject autism into the show, Morps. We were trying to be funny!
How in the world do you make a living at StarCraft?
If
you're Korean.
Really, no. I guess you get paid to play in tournaments.
Hmm.
Or maybe it's like regular sports teams where you, like, you know, agree to use this computer, this mouse, the branding. Like, we're going to shave your head and tattoo this on your forehead so it shows up in all the camera.
Well, I actually watched it. It's actually a pretty oppressive sport, man. These kids are used and abused and fucking, you know, pretty much trashed. As they're forced to train like 20 hours a day and shit like that. They live in concentration style camps. Yeah. there's a whole documentary about it. They had to
raise your accents for a minute.
Yeah, they actually tried to clean up esports in South Korea because, you know, people were being held against their will and things like that.
Fucking amazing.
Dude, I shit you not, man. These gaming houses, like, they go, okay, you got some talent, kid. Now devote 12 months of your life. We're not going to pay you, and you better fucking make us money. They pay for your housing and board and stuff like that, and then make you train 20 hours a day. It's a kind of an industry to get in and out of.
Let me just Google this here. StarCraft concentration camp.
Go for it.
StarCraft, it's from 2010. The StarCraft boot camp doesn't sound fun at all.
Nope, it's not.
From Kotaku. Oh, yep, there's the picture of Arlie Ermy. Okay.
There's actually a real documentary out there about the shit conditions that some of these kids are living under in these gaming houses.
So, they call them chicken coops, for one thing. Yeah...
Doesn't look like fun, does it?
Prospective players sign up to StarCraft Academies, lured by the promise of fame and fortune after some testing. Those deemed talented enough to progress then join clans or guilds. Okay. Anyone wanting to go pro must then pay to live in a dormitory where things don't sound so hot. The standard in programming groups is for people to live together 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, with no traveling to or from work. And for those ranked group 2 or below, their entire daily routine consists of eating, cleaning, laundry, and games. because of the structure of bringing in young people, developing them, and then replacing them when their lifespan is spent.
Lifespan is spent.
Dead. It sounds like they're fucking dead.
And they have been squeezed dry. It has earned the name of the chicken coop. These coops are seen as a problem not just the fact that they operate under poor conditions, but because despite paying to live in these dorms and practicing day and night, only a minuscule percentage of players can ever hope of making a living out of it. They're sweatshops, basically, squeezing money out of thousands of people who had never had any realistic chance of achieving the goals they had signed up for. You know, this is from 2010. This is where all the wild gold farmers were. It's like when they're not training in StarCraft, they're mining gold.
You thought I was bullshitting, didn't you?
No, I just wasn't sure of the details.
I do love the response of, we've tested a nuclear bomb. And this is a country that the U.S. said would never have a nuclear bomb. Instead of doing something, they're playing K-pop.
Thanks, Obama.
Well, indeed, as President Obama came out and said last year, ISIS is under control, don't worry about it. Nothing to see here.
Yeah,
everything's fine. Move along.
But yeah, you're not seeing anybody talking about the South Korea or the North Korean nuclear tests. And now think about this though: if you're blasting sound across a border the way they are, you want that stuff to carry for miles, right? So you say, "Oh, it's not tech," but you think about the amount of technology that would go into building those loudspeakers. I mean, you have to have a huge rack of amplifiers and just the power requirements alone to blast K-pop across a border for miles.
Just pulling up an image, man, to give you an idea of these things.
Well, they had a picture on the article of, they're basically looks like megaphones the size of a person in arrays, like a Connect Four array of these things. So.
Oh yeah, it's pretty impressive tech.
So
6x8 it looks like.
And too, if you really, really wanted to give people a headache, get some phasing going on. put a delay on one of them by a millisecond or two.
Ooh. Guards on the North Korean side of the demilitarized zone, you are now deaf.
You just play those really high pitched tones that hurt your ears.
That's what the K-pop
is. That would be an act of aggression, though. K-pop's just fucking annoying. K-pop's the equivalent to your neighbor, like, walking his dog on your front lawn and having his shit every day. It's not exactly worth shooting him about, but you're pissed off.
First, actual technology story to talk about tonight. It's from the blog post of Andreas Gall, who hasn't been, former Mozilla CTO. And when they left, most of the team that was working on Firefox's mobile OS has moved on. So everybody working on it basically left and went to go work somewhere else. But what they're talking about is Android has always used its own implementation of Java. And Google is now changing that, and they're going to go with OpenJDK, which is basically Oracle Java. It's the Apache license version of Java that it's implementing all of Oracle's IP, basically. They've never tried to say that we're not, Oracle's APIs. So Oracle can basically demand rights to Android devices.
Nice.
I'm other way around. The original Android Java was Apache. This one's GPL. But Oracle has means to control Java beyond the source code. OpenJDK is about as open as a prison. You can vote on how high the walls are, and you can even help build the walls. But if you're ever forced to walk it, Oracle alone will decide when and whether you can leave. Oracle moans as much to the roadmap, because Oracle won the case a few years ago, saying that they can copyright APIs. So Oracle has control of OpenJDK, even though it's an open source project. Basically, Oracle could demand licensing for Android apps and Android phones.
Ooh, and wait for a year or two? When it's all spread and Android's committed? That's the best time to do it.
So, you know, it's interesting too, because the original Android team that Google bought put a lot of work into re-implementing Java so that it did not conflict with the Oracle Java. So I think it was Sun at the time they started. And, you know, when Oracle gained control of it, they sued Google. That case went round and round and round. And the fact that Google's basically throwing in the towel, it kind of makes sense, you know, because they lost the API thing. So it's like, well, if we're going to be held to account for it anyways, we might as well just use their code and not, you know, spend all the money developing our own. Because they got to pay for it either way. So.
Mm.
But, yeah, this basically means Oracle controls anything Java.
So even code that they write themselves, Oracle owns.
Sort of. Oracle copyright wrote the API documentation to Java. So I guess the way to explain that would be, obviously they own the language because they own the IP. But the APIs, which are hooks into the language that other programs can use for the virtual machine and interfaces and networking, stuff like that. You know, of course, you document those up as well when you're, you know, as the specifications of here's how you interact with this software. And when they wrote Android, the Java stack for Android, which I'm blanking on the name at the moment. It might even be in the article, but I'm just blanking on it right now. So we'll just say the Android Java. When they wrote that, they used Oracle's documentation of APIs, basically the documentation of how the language should operate to write their own. Because they didn't hide the fact that it was Java. It was just their own implementation of the libraries in Java. And Oracle slammed, nope, that's RIP. You can't use that. Normally you wouldn't copyright an API because you can't
use the programming.
Exactly.
It would be like Windows saying you have to pay us to write a program to work on Windows. Well, then why the hell would anyone want to use Windows?
Well, you're right about that, which is why you wouldn't see Microsoft do that. But if you want to write for iOS or Android, there's a fee to get into the app stores. $100 for iOS and $25 for Android. If you want to write a game for the Nintendo, you have to get it approved by Nintendo. It's the way their licensing is written. So it's not that there's not precedent for it. It's just in the space of, you know, computers, you know, general purpose computers, it's much less common. So. This is interesting because I'm afraid you're gonna see Android end up as much of a walled garden as iOS is, which really sucks. All right, I'm guessing nobody wants to comment on that. Static, you got nothing on that?
I was just thinking that would be I guess that's the way Java's making money, because isn't it free just to use Java?
It is, but Oracle sells a lot of other shit.
Okay.
When Oracle, I mean, they monetize anything they can. They're like a sucking leech, but anyways. It's probably the end of it, but, you know, at this point, there's nothing we can really do.
Wasn't there a lot of people complaining about security leaks in Java anyway?
Java has security holes every month. But
like any software package, though. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I got an article here. The next one up after this. Wait, did I close it?
Is there a decent replacement for it out?
For Android? No.
No, for Java.
Yes and no. Lots of other languages use the virtual machine concept and are portable across operating systems. Ruby, Python, Perl are all viable PHP are all viable replacements for Java, depending on what you're writing. But Java can be compiled to bytecode and sold, whereas most of the rest of those are scripting languages that are more difficult to sell. That's one reason you see a lot of business applications written in Java. And you know, they're established now. So, like, you know, you go to school and Java is what they're teaching for enterprise programming. Whereas it's, you know, and there's a lot of support for it, but you know, it's like Microsoft. You go to school and take a computer class, you're going to be learning Windows. You're not going to be learning operating systems.
Yeah.
So you take a programming class, a lot of times you're learning Java. You're not learning, say, C++. That's not entirely true. A lot of programs will teach multiple languages, but yeah, Java is generally what businesses want because that's what all their code is in, so they want people who can maintain their current code. So it's not so much that there's not alternatives, it's just that it's very well established.
It's this, you already used the best example. You don't learn how to use an operating system in school, you learn how to use Windows, at least in America.
Yeah. So, on the good news here, Microsoft has officially declared Internet Explorer 8, 9, and 10 dead. That they will only be shipping security patches for 11 and Edge. So, the only thing is that, you know, you think this is going to be a good thing because, you know, I don't have to, you know, I can develop to web standards. I don't have to go do all that CSS crap to, you know, what if they're on IE 8 or 9? Except what's going to happen is not that everybody's going to go start using Firefox or Chrome or, you know, even the modern Internet Explorer. No, they're just going to keep using an unsupported browser because they've got some random-ass application on their internal corporate network that requires a specific version of Internet Explorer. And, like, government websites are terrible about this. Where to access their interface, you have to be using, like, IE 7. Or 6, or, you know, some specific version of Java to go with it. So what's going to happen is instead of, you know, you're going to have people browsing on these ancient-ass, easy-to-pwn browsers, and you're just going to see exploits go through the roof.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And people will be blaming Microsoft, not the companies that are maintaining ancient-ass web portals that require specific versions of Internet Explorer.
I don't know. The last time my company did anything like that, they just made it where older operating or older browsers would stop working. Does the government actually push to keep the older ones in use?
We have where I work, we have some people who have to deal with government websites, and they have to use Internet Explorer 9.
Yep. I haven't looked at the back end of porting different things through the government channels. I just look at the customer facing parts of the website, and all of those, we won't let you log in if you're using an older version of Internet Explorer.
You have to remember that the government of Great Britain paid Microsoft for 2 years of extended support for XP. I mean, these are not exactly, you know, governments don't exactly move fast when it comes to this stuff. So
corporations really don't either. Or no.
Depends on the corporation.
They may move slightly faster than government, but yeah, I'll give you, they don't move particularly fast either. Because if you've already paid for something and it works, why update?
Yep.
So, just a heads up, we are a little light on stories tonight, so if we end up short, we end up short. Next one up, this is just funny. It's from Ars Technica. So, back in October, a guy named Pedro, who an IT contractor living in Ireland, he was surfing Amazon. He was trying to get a specific textbook for a class he was taking. And he found the book, he ordered it, he got it, and found out it was the wrong edition. The website said it was like the latest edition. It was like the previous edition or something like that, right? And he needed the latest edition for his class, so he, you know, called Amazon support, told them what was up. They, you know, shipped the book back. They tried to find him the correct edition, couldn't find it in their warehouse, so they credited him. And he apparently, this process took days, and he was pretty upset about this because he apparently really needed this book. And yeah, I mean, the fact is, it sounds to me like Amazon did all right by the guy, you know. Didn't have the version, they at least gave him full credit. So he left a, you know, when they asked him what his, you know, they sent him a customer satisfaction survey. So he filled it out that, you know, was very unsatisfied, didn't get what he wanted, and thought he was done with it, right? So the next time he logged into Amazon, apparently at work, there was a dildo in his shopping cart. The screenshot shows the Hulk. 10.25 or 10 and a quarter inch huge dong black from TSX Toys. Apparently it's €55.
Wow.
Apparently he was at work and got, you know, he pops up his Amazon account to look at something at work and somebody behind him saw it. So, of course then it goes back and around that, and now Amazon's turning around and giving him $100 credit for this, you know, basically shut up money. And they've looked into it. Apparently, they're not denying it, but they're not acknowledging it either. You know, they're pulling the shut up thing. But they did give him €100 credit.
That's so not bad.
It's like he was a dick to them, so somebody put a dildo in his cart and they gave him further credit.
Hey, I give it to him for scamming him.
Well, you know, this goes back to the Fight Club thing, right?
Yeah.
If you treat the people who run the system like shit, you're going to find a 10-inch dildo shoved in something.
He's lucky it was only shoved in his inbox. It could have been shoved up his outbox. Yeah, but really, Pedro, you're a dick. You're a fucking dick. They give you your money back, and you still tell them that you're unsatisfied and for them to go fuck himself. Dude, they bent over backwards. It wasn't like they told you to go fuck yourself, keep the book. You know, you don't have to be a dick.
Well, I love the quote he has here. If my best friend did it to me while I wasn't watching, of course I would find it funny, he told Ars. I'm not a prude. The problem is I was at the office in an open space with people behind me, and a guy and two girls were sitting by me when I opened up Amazon, and they saw the contents of my shopping basket.
Hey, Pedro. Pedro, you're at fucking work. Do some fucking work. Don't go shopping. You're a fucking dick.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who got that vibe from this story.
Yeah, tell the coworkers the entire story. They'll think Amazon's amazing, and you're a dick.
Exactly. Hey, fuck off, Pedro. You're my number one dick of the year, and it's only 8 fucking days into it. Go shove the dildo up your fucking ass, you useless twat.
I don't know, Static, what do you think, man?
But, you know, I understand maybe he was rude, whatever. That's still not customer service that Amazon should be known for.
No, you are correct.
That's a horrible blowback for them.
That is not something they should be encouraging. And it's pretty petty on whoever did it, right? But
right, I
was gonna say I know that Amazon can put things in your shopping cart for you. Their customer service reps can, because I've had problems with an order before, and you know, they put special items in the shopping cart that you can't normally find, so that you can, you know, get, you know, a item reshipped and stuff like that.
Sure.
So I know they can do it, you know, from personal experience, that they can put things in the shopping cart. So it's not outlandish that they did. And it's pretty harmless because it's not like he bought it.
So the I guess the real question is this a true story? You know, I understand, you know, you can make things look whatever you want. Is it a true story in the fact, did he actually try to buy it? And is trying to pass it off and scam him out of money, number one, because he's a closet homophobic.
Wow, even I didn't call Pedro a faggot.
Paul's a faggot.
Number two, maybe it's his significant other, and Pedro's just not performing in bed.
Ooh.
I think we all agree Pedro's a dick.
See, now I just picked this story out because it was funny. I didn't think about the deeper implications here.
Browsing LiveLeak a little while earlier before the show, there was actually a video of removing a dildo from someone's body. So that would have went really well with this one. Anyways.
Good to know what you're doing in your spare time there, Static.
I'm just thinking 100 euros isn't enough for Amazon to really care. So if he was faking it, I could see them just paying it to shut him up. But then again, corporations don't like paying money. So I could also see this is a tacit admission that we shouldn't have put a dildo in your shopping cart.
And just remember, it's never your dildo.
It's the dildo. You can't imply ownership of the dildo.
So we're 2 for 2 for Fight Club references tonight.
Yeah,
that's not bad. Next one up is from Gizmodo. Apparently, there's a class action lawsuit being filed against Fitbit, claiming that their pulse monitoring is inaccurate and could be dangerous.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, who gives a flying fuck? The President of the United States wears a Fitbit. The How fucking dangerous. Product placement.
So stop 1 second. Is this a class action or is this a class auction?
I'm not sure. It says it was started by a trio of users.
Yeah. Okay, because you called it a class auction there. At least that's what I heard.
So I've been drinking.
Like, maybe they're auctioning off the case. That would be freaking awesome.
That'd be a great way to do a class action lawsuit. It's like, guys, yeah. We can't actually afford to bring the lawsuit, so we're going to auction the rights here. Here's all the legal filing we've got done. Here's everything we have.
Isn't that how they shop big cases around in America?
It might be. It might
like,
be.
Like, if you're a Maybe. Law firm and you get, like, catch wind of something that you could sue someone for, but you're a small law firm, don't you then shop that around to bigger law firms to help you out with the case?
You know, I think
the research regions of it, yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently these new Fitbits use some kind of a LED light to monitor blood flow through the wrist, then use an algorithm to figure out the heart rate, and the plaintiffs think there's a bug in it and that it's dangerously underreporting your heart rate.
Good.
You know,
you got a Fitbit, you should fuck off and die.
How dangerous is it to underreport my heart rate? I can't run faster. I'm a fat guy.
Well, I'm just thinking in terms.
That's how fast I'm going no matter what.
It's like, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack. But my Fitbit says I'm fine. The Fitbit must be right. Really? Really? You're going to ignore how you feel, especially if you're somebody who wears a Fitbit?
Hey, McDonald's lady won. You know, hot coffee all over her. She won.
That's 13 people that should be shot. That's all you're saying right now, Static, is I'm hearing there are 13 people in the world that should be shot.
Oh, there's more than that, but yes.
Well, with that one incident, it's the judge that didn't dismiss it and the 12 people that said give her money.
Yeah.
Apparently she actually had, like, third-degree burns, though. You looked that one up, Eddie.
But it's freaking coffee. What do you expect from coffee?
For it to be at least hot.
Okay, caffeine and hot. Two things I've heard.
So if my coffee is cold without caffeine, I'm pretty pissed off.
It's McDonald's coffee. It's not fantastic in the first place.
Why are you buying McDonald's coffee to start with? What kind of sick fuck buys that shit anyway?
I mean, you could have at least gone to, like, Dunkin' Donuts and gotten some coffee that at least wasn't terrible.
What are you talking about? Oh, I hate Dunkin' Donuts. They can burn in a pit of hell.
Really?
That's the nastiest, disgusting thing ever. I will never put my foot in that place again.
Well, to be fair, I haven't been
to a Dunkin'.
To be fair, it's been a while since I've been there, but the last time I was there, it was fine.
God, it made me almost vomit. It was so horrible.
Really? Huh.
Yeah,
but Americans can't make coffee.
And to top it off, the customer service, she needs to be shot. The person behind the counter. Anyways. I'm not bitter at all.
I like
but their coffee is.
Oh, yes, it was. Where's your rim shot? Come on, Morbs.
It's not loaded. I thought I was overdoing the soundboard before, so I just kind of, you know, been laying off. But here, I'll get you a rim shot. Hang on.
Emergency.
Emergency. We ignore my chest pain because the Fitbit says I'm fine. That's the only thing they're going to say. It's that not like the LED is burning their skin or anything like that.
Okay, from someone who has had a heart attack, I'm sorry. There is no way in hell you're going to ignore your chest pain like that if you're truly having a heart attack.
Yeah,
crack is whack.
I can see this as it's crap. You should give us a refund on our Fitbit if it's not working. That they have an argument there. But actual damages? No. They weren't injured by a Fitbit. If they were injured at all, it was because they were stupid. And you can't pay stupid people. It just promotes more stupid people.
You know, I actually can't find the rim shot in my sound effects folder. I was going to load it up and keep it handy, but I mean... Oh, this might be it. It's not named Rimshot. It's named Badumts.
That makes sense.
Yes, makes total sense. So, we'll keep that handy. Yeah, I don't know. This is, I mean, it's...
Again, it's going to be another stupid case of stupid people getting money and stupid people giving them money. They all need to be shot.
Well, now, or you pointed out earlier, Obama wears one of these things.
He needs to be shot.
Well, no, that wasn't the... What I meant was...
No, we were talking about product placement on fucking presidents and prime ministers around the world.
Yeah, that's all that is. But...
It's fucking horse shit. I wonder how much he makes out of that, out of Fitbit.
Oh, whoops, that's the wrong thing to speak.
I don't know if they paid him. They probably just sent him a free one.
Yeah.
No, there's no way, because if he's actually wearing one, they wouldn't have his data out there on the regular Fitbit servers. They'd spin up their own inside the White House or something, like they did with BlackBerry's and a bunch of other services, where they'd have the company come in and set up their own server inside for the government to use, so it could be quote unquote secure.
No, he can set it up in his own basement. He'll be fine. We have precedent for that. Oh, wait a minute. He's the president. His own basement happens to be a government facility with armed guards.
Well, how many people managed to get into the White House last year? Six?
Onto the grounds? Several? Actually, into the White House? I think only two.
Not bad.
Things out to get on the grounds, you jump a fence. It's not difficult to get on the grounds.
I don't know, it's a pretty high fence.
Okay, that's an American fat joke. It's getting harder the fatter we get, but there's still some fit Americans.
So, anyways, next story up is from InfoWorld. In particular, here's the key part of this article. Yusuf Mendy's Windows Experience Post announcing that 200 million machines have used Windows 10 in the previous month, including details about Windows 10 usage. 44.5 billion minutes spent in Microsoft Edge, 2.5 billion questions asked of Cortana, more Bing searches per device, 82 billion photos viewed in the built-in photo app. So think about this for a minute here. They know how much time you've spent in the web browser from the telemetry in Windows 10. Like, this isn't just monitoring for crashes or problems with the operating system. This is, like, usage tracking.
You're looking at pictures.
You've been in the web browser for 14 minutes, Dave. Are you going blind yet, Dave?
Suggestions for other pornography sites activated.
Yeah, no shit.
Awesome. You know, it makes it easier.
I don't know. Depends how buggy it is. Nothing kills a boner like La Salsa.
So, but the thing is, they know how much time was spent in other apps too, like photo, and apparently in some games and streaming games. It kind of makes me think they're tracking every program that's ran.
Because they are.
So.
But don't worry, man. You got nothing to hide. You got nothing to worry about. Totally cool. Calm the fuck down, man. What are you, like a terrorist or something? I'm not today, but depending on the government of the future, I may be.
Yeah. It literally depends who's in power. Right now, I could be on a list.
You are on a list, madman.
I'm on a list, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a... The websites I go to... Yeah, the, Homeland Security has already said I'm on a list.
Madman, you own a firearm. You're on a list.
Oh, ex-military. I'm on a list.
You pay taxes.
Yeah, but that list was compromised. I'm sorry.
Yes, it was. But not only that, I'm on a list, and I talk bad about our government, so...
Hey, you haven't gone to Oregon yet, so they're not going to take aim at you. Mm. Speaking of which, you want to take a road trip to Oregon? My vacation time's reset.
Mine too. I got 6 weeks now. Let's go.
They get odds on Vegas, like who gets shot first?
He does present a more
ample target. Just saying you're fatter.
Well, and taller. Easier shot. We'll just say easier shot. How about that?
You say okay. You're fatter.
I'm also loud, and I kind of walk around telling cops I don't care about committing crimes.
I'm actually trying to get into the United States at this point, so I'm just going to out of this conversation. I'll be back in two.
But you want to be in for the next story. Chinese People's Liberation Army soldiers have laser guns.
Pew, pew.
Pew, pew, laser guns.
The official PLA Daily December 9th, 2015 edition announced that Chinese soldiers are now in the possession of laser guns. This was not a counter to the success of Star Wars The Force Awakens, but rather the revelation of a new response to the spreading of new technology like unmanned systems. International conventions like the 1998 Protocol on Blinding Laser Weapons bans the use of lasers and blinding weapons against people. However, the optical and thermal sensors on vehicles, aircraft, and robots are still a fair game. For example, the PY-132A laser is one of the systems displayed at a domestic Chinese police expo, presumably for use against rogue and terrorist drones. So that's actually... Okay, that's cool. They're developing laser weapons as anti-drone. And it makes sense because, I mean... Static, you remember when we were playing with the homemade laser pointer and we're turning streetlights off with it, right?
Yeah, that was loads of fun.
Turning streetlights off with it, lighting matches and bursting balloons with it.
And that was just something I built in my garage out of a DVD burner.
It's actually not that hard.
No, it's not. You just need a driver board and a diode.
And that would probably blind someone.
But that's the point, is they're saying it's not for use against people, it's for use against the drones and the tanks. And
And shotguns are only used for breaching and destroying equipment. Were your skivvies armied issue? I'm not shooting the man, I'm destroying his underwear. We've done this argument before with other weapons. Am I wrong, Static?
He had to go take care of something.
Okay.
Knock on the door. Sir, we heard you're talking bad about us on the internet again. We saw you were on the list.
But I'm just saying, it's already illegal to use in-war shotguns on people, so we don't say we're using them on people. It's just people happen to be around what we're using them on.
That's kind of what I thought was funny, too. But I do kind of get a kick out of the fact that they're making high-powered lasers to combat drones.
It's...
The part I don't get is why they're putting them on a... infantry weapon, because the way drones work, infantry's never going to see them coming.
Yeah, I would say that's a problem too. I think the lasers we've already developed for aircraft carriers are going to be a bit more effective on drones, because the big advantage of drones, it's getting to the point where the munitions carriers are getting so cheap that it's more expensive to shoot them down than to let them hit you, almost. So you can bankrupt a country, not by winning, but by sending so many drones at a ship or something that they bankrupt themselves shooting them down. So you need munitions that are cheaper to fire. Lasers are getting dirt cheap to use.
Yeah, you just need batteries or power.
Or at least getting cheaper than bullets. We'll have to phrase it that way. And if they're making it where you don't actually have to damage the craft, you can just damage the sensors on it and make it inoperable, that is an excellent step forward. Not that I want to give my red brethren too many kudos.
I just thought...
Ain't nothing wrong with communism.
I mean, they make great chicken. That general was a wonderful cook.
I'll leave it between you two whether that was for RU's comment or Madman's comment. So, it is time for this. Yo!
Hadouken!
Yeah.
Still the most racist intro on the internet.
I'm pretty sure the box needs a reboot by now. That's multiple glitches. Audio. First thing up is a neat little tool I found a few minutes ago, which I just think is hilarious. And again, posted from the wrong damn TeamSpeak. So I give her having the two windows next to each other. DHCPwn is a tool for testing DHCP IP exhaustion attacks. It can also be used to sniff local DHCP traffic. It's a Python script. It starts spoofing DHCP requests and making up fake MAC addresses. The goal is to take DHCP servers that are not configured to do any kind of checking on the addressing and run them out of IP space. So it's a denial of service attack where my computer joins the network, assumes all of the available DHCP addresses, and your computer joins the network and can't get a request in edgewise to get an address to get on the network. It'll either get back a no address left error, or because this thing is just flooding with requests, its DHCP request will just get dropped.
So the computer has to already be on your network for this attack to work?
Yes, it does. But you bring a Raspberry with a Wi-Fi dongle into a Starbucks, and suddenly nobody else can write their Facebook posts. What's even better is because it's a, you know, it's Python. You could run it on a Raspberry with a Wi-Fi dongle, plug it into the wall, gun tape it under a seat somewhere, and it would be weeks before anybody found it and figured out why. You know, you'd have IT guys in there scratching their head like mad, trying to figure out what the hell is wrong with the thing.
So technically, really, cyber vandalism.
Yeah, it's a dumb attack, but yeah, it certainly could be. If you're going to gun tape a microcomputer somewhere, or actually even better, like an old cell phone that you don't give a shit about, like an old Android phone.
Yeah.
You know, root it, throw this script on it, run it.
Dude, you'd have, like, that coffee shop would lose so much business. You know, 2 or 3 days in a row, nobody would have been able to use their smartphones while they're ordering their frappe latte non-soy grande fucking frappareca, whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah, I've never actually heard anybody say non-soy at a coffee shop. Although I don't know that I'm in them enough to have caught it.
Neither am I, so... Yeah, people lose their shit when they can't get on the net on their phone.
But yeah, every coffee shop I go to around here is full of people on MacBooks, basically posting on Facebook. So, I'm just thinking it'd be hilarious.
Other than pissing people off or actually damaging a business, does this have any other practical uses?
Yes, it does. You can use it to look for misconfigured DHCP servers. A properly set up DHCP server, it would hand the address to the user that made the request, but they usually will then watch and see if the address is actually used anywhere, or if you have one device requesting way more addresses, it'll usually shut down or even detect these. So, because it is such a stupid attack, you're kind of expecting modern DHCP servers to not fall for it, but your little ones like your home routers or you know, less than enterprise gear, this thing might knock it over, might actually crash routers. because it's going to be so busy trying to respond to all these requests, it can't do anything else. Yeah, it's basically almost purely a malicious tool. It has some uses in testing, but it's really just to show a weakness in the design of DHCP.
I do kind of want to go to Starbucks now, though.
And then finally, to wrap things up, the last tool I have for tonight is called PTF, the Penetration Testers Framework. This is put together by Dave Kennedy over at TrustedSec, same guy who wrote the Social Engineering Toolkit. And this is a nice set of Python scripts. Pretty much, the way this thing works, you drop it into a machine, you just, clone the Git repository onto your machine, run it as root, and then tell it use modules, install, update all. And then this will take pretty much any major Linux distribution and turn it into Backtrack, or Kali. Well, less Kali, more Backtrack, because it structures a lot of the tools the way Backtrack used to set them up, as opposed to having them just kind of all over the file system the way Kali does. So, it's not as complete as a Kali or Blackbox or Blackbuntu, a few others.
Is it more well-rounded than them?
No. No, it's got fewer tools because it's new, but the fact is you can drop it on any existing Linux system. You don't have to use a separate Linux system.
Oh, so the big advantage is you don't need Kali Linux. This will work on Red Hat or whatever you already have set up. And then when you're done, you can uninstall it. Or just leave it on there.
It puts everything in a folder, so you can just take it off. But it also is a framework for keeping all the tools up to date.
Ah, auto-update.
So it'll auto-update everything. You can write your own modules for it, so if you have a tool that you know about that's not in there and you want to add it, you just add the module. I'm pretty sure, Dave Kennedy's pretty good about this stuff. If you wrote a module for a popular tool, send it to him. I'm pretty sure he'd include it in the attribution for your module, so...
No, it's cool.
Met him a couple of times at a couple of security conferences. Good guy.
Now you just name dropping smartass.
Good guy. Watch out for man hugs. He's kind of. I don't know that he does that as much anymore, but man, oh man, large man coming at you. It's like, oh god.
I know that feeling. Mad man.
You asked what twerking was. If you do not wish a response, do not ask the question.
To be fair, the couple of times I met Dave Kennedy, he wasn't twerking. Not that I would put it past him. He just wasn't doing it at the time. So, anyways. Yeah, this is cool, though, because it's a tool for installing lots of other stuff and keeping it up to date. And you can add your own custom modules to it. And it's in Python, so it's easy enough to screw with it if you want to add your own custom commands or whatever. Nothing else, it's a quick and easy way to get Metasploit and Social Engineering Toolkit and a few other quick tools installed on your... Like, I keep a couple of Linux laptops around because, yeah, my main rig is running Windows, but if I don't want to be tracked today...
Yeah, if no one needs to know how many hours I spent playing video games or watching Prawn...
Use Linux. I love watching prawns.
Have you ever gone to hotprawn.com?
No, but I'm heading there now. Oh dear!
Hope the image is still up and no one's moved it.
What's it called? Hot prawn.
Hot prawn.
Is it a shrimp? Please tell me it's a shrimp.
It's two shrimp having sex. Hot prawn.
I don't actually want to see that. Actually, Static.
Can't really tell them doing anything.
Do you have anything before I close out the show?
The mess that's been made, no, I'm staying away. I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, that's all I've got. A little bit of a shorter show tonight. And Static, yeah, I think you got the idea. Are you?
Oh, no.
Emergency! Emergency! Emergency!
All about not clicking on that link.
Probably it's not as bad as you think. It's really not a bad link.
It's a Harlequin that bad. Baby, isn't it?
No, it's not a Harlequin baby.
It's another fucking Harlequin baby.
No. No, okay. I'll stop doing that after I got to argue.
I'm calling it a night.